want to thank Brother Larry for his prayer on our behalf, as well as each of you. This morning, it's good to have Beto's parents with us. I'm not sure how much they'll understand, but it's always a blessing to see them, to experience their share the love and the love of the Lord that we share together. Title of the message this morning is Thankful for God's Goodness. A woman was doing her shopping. Pretty appropriate subject right now, isn't it? It was in a European village where there were individual shops for specific items. And first she went to the cheese shop for some Swiss cheese. The woman continued on to the bakery shop. Then she went to the fruit stand, and then she went to the vegetable market. And everywhere the woman went, she frowned, turning up her nose and saying, "How terrible everyone smelled." And after returning home and unpacking her purchases, she discovered that the clerk at the cheese shop had given her Limburger cheese instead of Swiss, and it was very ripe. She had been complaining about everyone else when actually she'd been carrying the problem around in her own packages. Now that's the way it can be with our attitudes. Sometimes we may think our circumstances stink. I'm being a little blunt, but maybe you've said it. I probably have. We may not have a real good opinion of other people either. And blaming our circumstances or other people for how we feel. And yet, could it be that sometimes when we're unhappy or irritated or depressed or unpleasant, that the real problem may be my own attitudes that I'm carrying around inside of myself? Many times the bad attitudes we carry with us flourish due to the lack of thankfulness. The negative circumstances seem to dominate our minds when there's so many other things to be thankful for in our lives. We tend to see the bad, as we talked about in the Sunday school lesson somewhat. But we tend to see the bad in someone else instead of being thankful for the good. We may even tend to want or expect more from God instead of being thankful for what He's already given, what He's already done. I know that we had a good Thanksgiving service Wednesday evening, but I don't believe that anybody here has mastered this subject to the extent that we can harm from considering it a little further this morning. There are over 550 references to thankfulness in the Bible. Certainly, it must be important. Surely there are great benefits to one's life who is truly thankful, and the attitude of thankfulness will have a powerful effect on one's own life as well as those that we're around. If you think about it, when you're around people who are thankful, how does that make you feel? What's the effect it has on your life? And the opposite is true when you're around someone who's complaining and always in the dumps. What does it do? You start to think of your own situation and how many dumps you have and how much I can complain about. We're bombarded with ideas that we don't have enough. We need something else. We can contend with we also contend with a sin nature that's selfish and greedy. We all have it. We're led to believe that if we can attain and accumulate things in this life, then we'll be happy. We would be happier if I just had an iPod? I don't know. They're getting to be names. I don't even know what they are. You know, I can use my cell phone to make calls, but I think there's things on there I probably can't even do. if I just had this, I'd be happy or happier. It leads to the thinking that it is because of what I don't have that causes me not to be happier. You got to think about that. And there's, again, a lack of appreciation for what we do have. Then there's the thought that if I'd be happier, then I'd be more thankful. Now, try to follow the progression here. If I just had this, I'd be happier. And then if I'd be happier, I'd be more thankful. And with this thinking, happiness is dependent on what we have. Being thankful is dependent on whether we're happy. So if someone is unthankful, or if I'm unthankful, it's because I'm unhappy. Does that sound backwards to you? In reality, the opposite of what I said is actually true. Many times the reason for a lack of happiness is the lack of thankfulness. It's true. It's so easy to take our blessings for granted. Are we thankful to live in this country? The freedom that we enjoy, the abundance of material goods, most of us have experienced that all our lives. Those of us who are young enough, we didn't experience the Depression. We don't know what it's like to stand in line. Back in the 1970s, we visited my older brother and his family who were serving in Honduras in Central America, and a completely different way of living there from in the States. And we saw true poverty, and I know a lot of you have been to different countries and have seen true poverty. And I remember, though, I was fairly young, maybe 10 or so at the time, or maybe in my early teens, when we returned and the plane landed back in the United States, there was a sense of appreciation and thankfulness for what we had. What about the blessings of relationships that we enjoy? I'm thankful for friends, for brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters in the Lord. And family. Relationships, you know, can bring us the greatest joy, and they can also bring us the greatest sorrow. One of the greatest pains of my life has been the loss of my parents. This Thanksgiving was a little different. Yet having them for parents was one of the greatest joys of my life. So I'm thankful for my parents, thankful for my second set of parents, Carol's mother and dad. I don't know anything about the mother-in-law jokes or the whatever. I consider them my second set of parents. I'm thankful for a very special aunt, two aunts, and a very special uncle here this morning. I'm thankful for strong, healthy relationships with my siblings. That we could stand around mother's bed when she was dying and stand there in unity and nothing between us. I'm thankful for my wife, who truly loves me. Truly. Thankful for our seven children, from the youngest to the sixth, who have grown into adulthood. I'm thankful for our three son-in-laws. For our three grandchildren who can brighten any day. God's been good to me. I'm amazed at, again, how the Lord leads, and Brother Andy leading 47. God's been good, yet I haven't been thankful enough. You know, sometimes I'm too much like a little boy that I read about. Maybe at times you're like him as well. The boy was returning from a birthday party and his mother asked him, "Bobby, did you thank the lady for the party?" Bobby replied, "Well, I was going to, but a girl ahead of me said, 'Thank you,' and the lady told her not to mention it, so I didn't." Too many times I think, well, I don't have to mention it. God knows, but He wants to hear it. He wants us to express our thankfulness. You know, it irritates me sometimes when we do things, and I've been guilty of it too, but maybe that's why it irritates me. But when you do things and people don't express thanks, I held a door for people before and they go walking right in, never say a word. Kind of bothers you a little bit. Maybe that's pride. It just thinks, why can't I at least get a thank you? Think how God must feel. The giver of our lives, the sustainer. The giver of every good gift that we enjoy. You know, thankfulness is something really unique. I never thought about this before like this, but think about it. Thankfulness is something really unique in that it is something we can give to God that's truly our own. It's truly our own if we give it to Him. Because everything that we give back to Him materially or financially, our money, it was His from the start. And He only is giving it to us to lend it to us. And when we give it back to Him, it's like giving it what was His already back. But when I'm thankful and from my heart and I give it back to the Lord, or I give it to the Lord, it's my very own offering to Him. My very own. Notice in Psalm 107, and I didn't have Brother Larry read the whole chapter for the sake of time, but the first 9 verses really convey a lot of the chapter. But flip over to verse 21 of Psalm 107. Where again, after being delivered, a deliverance of God, it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Then the very next verse, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." The sacrifices of thanksgiving. When I'm thankful to God, it's like offering a sacrifice that's my very own. I can say, "Here, God, this is really from me. As an offering to You for what You've done, for what You will do." Verse 1 of Psalm 107 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Psalm 107 is encouraging thanks. It's commanding it. It's pleading for the redeemed of the Lord to give thanks to God. And I know that the psalm is specifically talking about Israel's deliverance, but I believe that we can apply it to the redeemed under the new covenant, you and I. You know, it was interesting. I was listening real close, knowing that what I was considering or what I felt I was being led for this morning's sermon, so I was listening close Wednesday evening to see how Brother Harvey, what he was going to, how approach it. And then during the testimonies, one of the statements that jumped out to me because of what I was considering was what Brother Merle said, and I don't know if we remember it, but he said one of the things in his testimony that he thanked the Lord for His goodness. And I specifically wrote it down because I was thinking about goodness. And 4 times in Psalm 107, it says, "Oh, that man would praise the Lord for His goodness." Goodness. You know, the word goodness there means loving kindness. In fact, in other places in Scripture, the same Greek word is translated loving kindness. So you can interchange them and you can say, oh, that man would thank the Lord not for his goodness, or you can say for his loving kindness. The loving kindness of God. And each time in Psalm 107 when it says, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness, it is after God has delivered someone from their trouble or out of their distresses. Psalm 107 is all about being thankful for God's deliverance. Four types of people are listed in that psalm whom the Lord delivers. Maybe you can relate to one of them or one of those groups, and I know I can. Maybe you're there now. Verses 4 through 9 speaks of wanderers, those who are lost without a home. Verses 10 to 16 speak of prisoners, those who are bound, who are shackled. Verses 17 to 20 of Psalm 107 speaks of fools. The word fools is used there, and it's those who are distressed or afflicted by their own or because of their own sin. Ever experienced that? These are to the point of near death. And then verses 23 to 30 speaks of those who are storm-tossed and are at their wit's end. Did you know that was in the Bible? Look at verse, if I can find it here quickly. Verse 27. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. In each case, those who need to be delivered, need rescued, they reach a point where they finally cry out to the Lord, and without exception, he delivered. The wanderer who is lost is placed on the right way to safety and given a home. The prisoner's chains are broke into pieces and freed. And the fool suffering for his sin is healed and delivered from the destruction that he surely faced. And the storm-tossed have their storms. The scripture there says in 107 that God calmed their storms. There is a great calm, a stillness. What a deliverance. Listen, the greatest deliverance that you and I can experience this morning is from a problem that we can't solve. It's called a sin problem. The greatest deliverance that we can experience. We're not the children of Israel and having to wander through a wilderness, but we're in a sin problem that we can't solve on our own. And the greatest deliverance is through a man called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and he gave his life so that we don't have to die. He suffered for sin that wasn't his own. It was my own. He paid a penalty that we couldn't pay. The greatest gift that we can ever receive is in the form of a person, Jesus. Why? Oh, that man would praise God for his goodness. His loving kindness. Notice, if you will, and there in Psalm 107, in the part that Brother Larry read, just to make the connection from taking it from Israel and taking it and applying it to us and to the under the new covenant. In verse 4, the wanderer has lost his way. Who's the way? Jesus is the way. The wanderer not only has lost his way, but it says the wanderer is hungry and thirsty. Jesus is the bread of life. He's the living water. And it says that the wanderer in verse 5 is weary. Jesus is the giver of rest. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Deliverance. For many of us here, there's been a time in our lives There has been a time when we were wandering and lost, when we were bound by shackles, shackles of sin. We've been afflicted because of our sins. We've been storm-tossed, and finally we reached a point where, as those people did in Psalm 107, the children of Israel, they cried out to the Lord, and we cried out to Him. You know, often it's when we run out of options, isn't it? We think, well, I don't know what else to do. I've tried all that I can do. Finally, we cry out to the Lord. And He delivered us. Didn't He? Did He? Yes, He delivered us out of our distresses and out of our trouble. And oh, that we would praise Him for His goodness. If you haven't reached that point, oh, that you would, so that you can praise Him for His goodness. And every time as believers, when we slip back and we fall and we're again in trouble and in distress, and we cry out, He again responds. Oh, that we would praise Him for His goodness. The goodness of God and the gift of Jesus Christ is the basis for all of our thanksgiving. You know, when you think about it, if I really am appreciating the goodness of God, what He has done in my life, the fact that Jesus Christ has delivered me, has made a difference, has changed my life, gives me a future hope. If I'm really understanding that, or it's really happened in my life, won't it result? At least it should. In a more thankful spirit across the board. Things can be bad, but you know what? As long as I have that, I better be thankful. I should be thankful. He is at the core of our thanksgiving. God's loving kindness, we must be thankful. And then the end of Psalm 107 in verses 33 to 42. You take time to read through the chapter. Those verses speak of the difference between God's response to the wicked, those who are disobedient, and God's response to the righteous, those who are obedient. You know, God's loving kindness does not overrule those who are determined to be wicked, or to be disobedient, and who choose not to cry out to the Lord. Oh, that we should praise Him for His loving kindness, but it will not overrule any person who chooses to disobey and to stay in that state, says, I don't need You, Lord. I'm going on alone. And many a person has chose to do that to the day of their death. I wonder what the first thought is after they pass from this life. Look at the last verse, Psalm 107. With that in mind, the difference between God's response to the wicked and the disobedient and those who are righteous and obedient. The last verse of Psalm 107 said, whoso is wise, verse 43, and will observe these things, even they shall understand what? The loving kindness, the goodness, it's the same word, of the Lord. If we understand the goodness of the Lord, there's no reason why we should stay bound to a sin life. And there's no reason, if we choose to cry out to Him, because of his response, we will understand his goodness even in a greater way. And there's no excuse for me complaining, which is so easy, and not being thankful. God help us. God help us. You know, part of our separation, part of our nonconformity, I believe, is having a thankful attitude, a thankful spirit, because we're all around in a society. If you work out in the workforce, and I don't have to deal with it here when I'm here at school, but when you're in the workforce, in the world, what's the predominant attitude? It's not thankfulness. Complaint after complaint. Listen in closing to these words. Kind of got me excited when I realized it, when Brother Andy was leading it, when I saw those words. Maybe I can just reread verse 2. I thank him for unclouded skies, for love beyond my ken, that when my path in shadow lies, that doesn't sound like a real good circumstances. The sunshine comes again. I thank him for the hopes fulfilled, for every answered plea. What were they doing in Psalm 107? They were pleading or crying out to the Lord. For every answered plea, that though life was not all I willed, this life hasn't been all that I wanted, it's not been all that I willed, but still, my God is good to me. He's good. So I'll count them, my many blessings, o'er and o'er. I'll tell what? My Father's goodness. The very least that I can do is tell my Father's goodness.